Blog Talk Radio.
I'm healed by the power of His Word. I'm healed by the power of His Word. Over every situation, I'm healed by the power. I'm healed, yes I am, by the power. Speak to your situation, speak to your circumstance, and declare it. Say the prophet said, I'm healed by the power. The attitude shifts tonight. Be healed. Hallelujah. Disenfranchised. Be healed. Now think about that loved one and you say to that situation, be healed by the power.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is another glorious day in the Lord. This is Reverend Foster Clark of Expectant Faith World Ministries on the show Life Empowering Words, Faith for the Week. I'm so excited to be here again today to be with you on this wonderful 11th day of March in the year of our Lord, 2015. God bless you this morning. I'm excited to be here today as we are going. I want to just talk with you today. We're going to just talk a little bit about grace. Grace is something that is very, very dear to my heart, mainly because of things that I have walked through, people that I have counseled with, and others that I know have just had lives that may not have been what others might say good lives, but have made mistakes, have done some things that they aren't proud of, and not just before becoming a Christian, but after becoming a Christian. And we all need grace. The Word of God says that all have sinned and fallen short of the grace of God. But oh, I give God praise for His grace. So I'm excited about today. I'm excited about the show. I just pray that God would just open your ears and your hearts, and that by the end of this show, you will feel so free to walk in God's grace, regardless of what you've ever done or what attitude you might have ever had, but that you would just feel absolutely free because of the love and the grace of God. Amen. So thank you for being here with me today. Of course, if you have questions or comments throughout this show today, you can call in at 602-753-1822. I'm going to say that again at 602-753-1822. You can call in with questions or comments, or if you have prayer requests, you can call those in. Or if you don't necessarily want to call in with a prayer request, you can go to our website at expectantfaith.org. That's expectantfaith.org. And there will be a prayer request part of the website that you can put those on. We have wonderful intercessors just waiting to pray for you. But again, today we're going to talk about the freedom of grace. And truly, freedom comes with the grace of God. Before we do that, I want to hear a little bit of the song simply called Freedom. Amen. It's simply called Freedom Reigns. Freedom Reigns.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If you're tired and you are thirsty, there is freedom. If you're tired and you are thirsty, we'll
tonight, Lord. We lift our eyes to Jesus. There is freedom.
Freedom, for the freedom that he gives, for the freedom that he blesses us to walk in by his grace. Grace is God's continuous, unmerited, unearned love and favor. It is the grace of God that frees us from the guilt and condemnation of our own sins. The blood of Jesus delivers me. The blood of Jesus cleanses me. The blood of Jesus saves me. But the grace of God frees me from the guilt and condemnation of sin. Because of the grace of God and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I give praise because I'm free to walk in his forgiveness. And not only to walk in his forgiveness, but to walk in it without shame, without condemnation, and with a clean, joyous heart. I'm free to stop beating my own self up. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. We, especially those of us that are in Christ, as we love Christ and walk in Christ, but we mess up sometimes. We do stupid things. Some things we know that we did, that we're doing wrong, and some things we don't know. But we mess up, and then normally we beat our own selves up. We go before God and we repent and we ask God to forgive us, but we still beat ourselves up continuously. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have done that. Or we have the help of others. Now, don't get me wrong. Others are quick to want to help you beat yourself up, especially if you are in Christ and you mess up and that folk are quick to point out, but you shouldn't have done this. And they begin to question you. And so now condemnation and guilt start setting in. And I cannot tell you how many people I've counseled with or encountered that deal with that, including myself at one point, until God began to show me how truly wonderful and powerful his grace is. There was a woman, a very dear lady, a pastor's wife, who I was visiting their church one day, and I was just in the church, and I was going through a lot of things, and here I was, a Christian man, but I had a lot of things going on in my life, and a lot of them were wrong, and things that I were doing that were wrong, and nobody knew how bad it was tearing me up on the inside, the things that I was doing, the life that I was living, but I couldn't seem to break free, and the more I couldn't seem to break free, the more I beat myself up. And one day I was sitting in this church just feeling hopeless and dejected, and there's no hope for me. This is just the person I have to be, and on and on and on. And a very dear woman walked up to me, not knowing anything that I was dealing with. And she said to me, "I feel compelled to say this to you." And she said, "Whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you're doing, don't let your sin outweigh God's grace. Don't let your sin become so big in your mind and heart that you think God's grace can't cover it. And here I am some 20 years later, and that still rings in my heart. And there was so much power and truth in what she had to say. So today I just want to talk a little bit with you about the freedom of grace. We're going to hear different songs that talk about the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and we're going to share a little bit. But real quick, if I can just get you to look at Luke, the book of Luke chapter 23, the book of Luke chapter 23, and we're going to look at just a few verses. In this is dealing with Jesus being taken to the cross and getting ready to be crucified. And looking at verse 32, it says, there were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Right there alone is a powerful statement. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. My God, look at that. Here is the Lord experiencing his own physical, emotional, and perhaps even spiritual agony on the cross, and yet he still expressed the divine nature of his love for man, of his love for you and for me. He had the compassion, later you'll see in a couple of verses, he had the compassion to listen to the pleas of one who had great need, one who had, for all accounts, hadn't done any good for anybody. And yet here is Christ, even with what all he was dealing with, but yet he had the heart and compassion to listen to this man's plea, to his great need. And he says at this point, though, he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. See, that's grace in action. That's grace and mercy for those things that we don't even realize the consequences of. Sometimes it's things that we haven't yet been able to break free from. Sometimes it's things that we've simply gotten caught up in. We've gotten caught up in the crowd. We've gotten caught up in the moment. And we're in the process of doing something that we wish we weren't even doing, but yet we are caught up in and almost feel like we can't get out. We can't stop. That's not justifying wrong. It's just the truth of a matter. Sometimes you get caught up in something that you got no business being in. Sometimes you get caught up in something that you wish you weren't doing, but you find yourself doing. And here Christ says, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. My God, thank you, Lord, for grace and mercy. He goes on and he says, and the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, saying, this is the king of the Jews. But here's the point that I want to really get to in verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. Save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same sentence, the same condemnation, and there's so much power in that. Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same sentence? See, the first thing was he was admitting, I'm guilty. He was admitting the things that we being judged for, we truly have done. And see, that's the one thing, the first thing I could say to anybody is be honest about yourself with God. I'm not talking about with everybody else. God will lead you and guide you on who to talk to with people. But be honest about yourself with God. First off, God already knows all about you, so you might as well go on and be honest. The one thing I would like to think of myself is that I'm brutally honest with God as much as I know how to be. And I say that because God knows more about me than I know about me. And so he says, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. Or in other words, we're getting what we deserve. This is what this man is saying. But I thank God that he doesn't judge us according to the multitude of our sins, but he looks upon us with the blood of Jesus. He looks upon us with his grace and his mercy. So this man is saying we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then the criminal turns to Christ and he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He came with a truly repentant heart. My God, isn't it something that's all, that is all we need to do when we mess up, when we jack up, when we sin, when our attitude just gets stank and we're just not right? All we need to do is have a true repentant heart. And our God, who is so gracious and so loving, says, okay. He says, truly, he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus asked him, he said, truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. See, when we come to God with a true heart of repentance and ask his forgiveness, his grace simply says, okay. Now, the thing I love about this, and the thing I love about God, is that God don't have levels of sin, levels of grace. See, people have levels of sin. Well, this person is doing this, but that person did this. No, it doesn't work that way. A sin is a sin. Wrong is wrong. We all fall short. So be careful how you look at other people. We're going to deal with that in a minute. Be careful how hard you want to look at somebody else's mess, how hard you want to look at somebody else's wrong, when you got your own wrong, when you got your own mess, and all of it needs to be covered, has to be covered by the grace of God. No one is no bigger or no more important than anybody else or no worse than somebody else's, because it all falls under the grace of God. It all falls under his love. My God, my God. And so here's a man who comes to Christ having, from all accounts, justly being convicted, but yet the grace of God. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? I want to look at something real quick, and I want you to go there with me to John chapter 8, because it's just such a powerful, real story, a real life story of a real individual. And I want to go there real quick, because it's something that I can personally relate to and that I know others can relate to. And it's in John chapter 8. It's in John chapter 8. My Lord. In John chapter 8, there's a woman that was found in adultery. Now, actual adultery. So it wasn't like, and she's been falsely accused. And in John chapter 8, verse 7, the people bring this woman. In verse 3, it said, then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him being Christ, a woman caught in adultery. That means caught in the very act of adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? My Lord, for the shortness of time, I must drop down. And he, in verse 6, let me just go on. He said, this they said, testing him that they might have something to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. I laugh about that. It's almost like Christ was saying, I'm going to give y'all a chance just to let this go. Y'all bring this woman to me to accuse her. You bring this woman to me to to somehow just jump down her throat, and you got your own mess. So I'm giving y'all a chance just to let this go. That's the way it seems to me. Like, he just bent down like, Lord help him. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her first. Whoever among you has no sin. Notice he didn't say who among you hasn't committed adultery. He didn't name the specific. He said who has no sin. Again, be careful how you judge other people when you have your own mess, because we all fall under the grace of God. And he said, and those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are your accusers? Where are those that have accused you? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. Now, here's the part I love. He said, then neither do I. Go and sin no more. She walked away with no guilt, no condemnation. He didn't say, go your way, but you know how bad you've been. You're lucky I'm here. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. None of that. When she walked away totally free, totally filled with joy in her heart. No guilt, no condemnation. This is the grace of God that he has given to us. I don't know what you've done. I don't know what you've been through. But the grace of God covers you if you simply come to him. The moment you say, Lord, forgive me, he says, cool, no problem. I got that. My son has that. Don't worry about it. Go and sin no more. Now, the Bible doesn't declare if she ever committed adultery again. It doesn't say that. Sometimes you may trip and fall two or three times. And with everything in your heart, you keep trying to get it right. Let me encourage you, keep fighting the good fight. Keep praying, keep seeking, keep fighting the good fight. Keep repenting when you mess up, because out of your true heart, God says, I've got this. Don't be discouraged. Don't let the enemy knock you down further. Don't let him put his foot on you when you trip and fall. And don't let others put their foot on you when you trip and fall. God knows your heart. And if it's a true heart, you're repenting. You're like, Lord, help me through this. Lord, help me come out of this. Lord, help me get past this. Keep fighting the good fight. All battles aren't won all at one time. They're just not. And that's the truth of the matter. We in Christ, especially we preachers, make it sound easy. We say, just resist the devil and he'll flee. And we make it sound like it's so easy. Yes, our power is in Christ, and Christ is our strength. But you have to look at a spiritual battle like a war. I'm a military man, served in the First Gulf War. Some wars and battles aren't fought overnight. They aren't won overnight. They take time. They take perseverance. They take staying in the fight. Lord, give me strength to get through today and make right choices. Give me strength to get through today and have a right mind. If I fall, Lord, forgive me. Help me get up and get back in the fight again. My God, this is the grace of God. This is the freedom that God gives us. I love 1 John 1:9, for it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't hold it over our heads. He doesn't say, I'm going to forgive you, but if you do it again, hey. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Jesus is absolute love. He is the absolute purity of love, and this is the love that we are to walk in and show to others, and I'm going to show you that in a minute. But real quick, I need to take a call, but I want to play a song for you real quick called Jesus' Love. Just listen to this for a minute and enjoy it, and we'll be right back. Amen. Thank you. Realizes how much grace they needed from God, they'll never be able to truly show grace and give grace. I needed to move on, but I want to say one more thing about this woman in verse 11, John chapter 8 and verse 11. And again, it says, when, starting in verse 10, he says, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers? In other words, where are the people that have accused you, that have brought you before me? Now, when it says accused, they didn't accuse her wrongfully. She had done exactly what they said she did. But they accused her with no forgiveness. They accused her hoping that Christ would say, yes, let's stone her. See, some folk just want to see you fall. But I thank God for the love of Jesus that always wants to see me at my best. We're going to play a song later called The Best in Me. He sees the best in me. And I love this because in verse 11, he says, she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. No one knows if she ever did that again. But she walked away completely free, walking in the grace of God, walking in the freedom that God offers. And this is what I want you to catch today. You are free in Christ. When you give your life to him, and even after you become, don't you know, yes, I tell part of my dirt because I want people to understand the love of God. A lot of the sin, I've committed sin all my life. And not only does God love me, but then he called me into the ministry, something that I never saw myself doing, didn't want to do. Even when I gave my life to Christ, I didn't make God any guarantees. I'm down there at the altar and gave my life to Christ, and I whispered under my breath, okay, Lord, I'll be a Christian, but there's no guarantees. I'll do the best I can. And don't you know that was good enough for him? And then later he calls me into the ministry. I wasn't looking to be in ministry, didn't want to be in ministry, but he called me. And a lot of the mess that I did was after I became Christian. Because there was so much in me that still needed to be worked out. See, one thing we as Christians have to understand it, about ourselves and other Christians, are we are a work in progress. Again, that's not a condoning of sin, but it is a truth. We are a work in progress. You're going to have good days and bad days. You're going to have up days and down days. You're going to have days where your attitude is just stank. You're going to have days where you're going to have to really grab a hold of yourself and grab a hold of God and say, Lord, hold on to me today because my attitude ain't right. And God, in his mercy, says, okay. I want you to understand something real quick, and we have a pastor on the line, Pastor Tom Miller, who's a very good friend of mine who happened to call in. We're going to hear from him in a minute, but I want you to understand something about what I just said. I love this. I love this right here. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. One version says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. My God, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it. See, we are constantly being perfected. We are constantly being completed and molded and shaped by the word of God and the spirit of God and the hand of God. I love where he says, I am the potter and you are the clay. God's always shaping and molding us. As long as I have a repentant heart, a heart that's constantly turning to him, looking to him, his grace covers me. I want to allow you to hear from Pastor Tom Miller. Okay, Pastor Miller, are you there now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir. We had a technical difficulty. Please forgive us. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Well, Reverend Clark, you'll have to forgive me if I touch on something you've already touched on on here. But for me, when I think about grace and I hear the things you're saying, one of the thoughts that crosses my mind is, is grace really for me?
Outstanding.
You know, it's like, well, I hear what you're saying, and I hear what 1 John 1:9 says, and I hear those things, but you don't know what I've done. And we get to that point where we struggle back and forth with, can I be forgiven? Is there grace for me? And finally, the Lord will step in and speak a scripture to us, speak a word to us, send somebody to you that will share with you something that sets you free, and the next thing you know, the enemy's knocking on your door and reminding you of another scripture. And you got to understand, the devil, the enemy of our souls, will try to misconstrue scripture to take your freedom. He did that to Jesus.
Absolutely.
When Jesus is being tempted.
Good point.
Satan
good point.
Shows up and he throws the first temptation out, and Jesus uses a scripture to fight him. And what does the enemy do? He comes back with scripture. But I got to tell you, you got to hold on to the truth that God said, because no amount of twisting, no amount of lying the enemy can do can take away the grace that God has given you. I love 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Well, let me ask you this, Pastor Miller. I've heard Christians say, well, if you were really a Christian, you wouldn't do that thing again. Whatever it is, whatever you've done, whatever you messed up, you wouldn't do that again. What do you say to that?
I say, well, the scripture says to work out your faith with fear and trembling.
Amen.
I am working out my faith. I'm working out my salvation. And you know, I make mistakes. Peter made mistakes.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I was going to bring him up. So go ahead. You just go ahead.
Peter made a huge mistake before Jesus was crucified. He told the Lord, he said, Lord, if everybody denies you and everybody runs from you, I'll never deny you. Jesus said, before the rooster crows three times, you'll deny me. Or, you'll deny me three times.
Yes.
Rooster crows. Peter's denied Jesus. Peter's falling apart. The scripture says the Lord looked at him. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he said, go tell my brethren and Peter. And we all know the story. You know, he mm-hmm. went through the scenario where he asked Peter three times if he loved him. And Peter said, Lord, you know I do. And we went through that thing where Jesus reinstated Peter, and Peter became that pillar in the church that God said he would be. But later on, you see, and I believe it's in the book of Acts, Peter gets caught up in hypocrisy.
Yes.
Peter gets messed up in sin again and gets rebuked sharply by the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
Now, if you're trying to tell me if you were really saved, you wouldn't mess up again, are you trying to tell me that Peter wasn't saved? I don't believe that.
No, sir, that's a very, very good point. And I wanted you to answer that question, because so many times we beat up on people that have fallen. The funny thing is, the average person who is in Christ, truly loves the Lord, but they already know they've messed up. They already know they're wrong. They already have a broken heart. They're already repentant. So you heaping more on them really isn't helping. And that's where the freedom and the grace of God comes in. I truly just thank God for grace, even in my own life. You know, I love what you said about being a work in progress. I love to tell people all the time, I'm a Christian, but I'm a practicing Christian. It means I'm always practicing to get it right. I'm always looking to God to help work out that thing in me that's not worked out. You know, mm-hmm. But I've learned, I had to learn to walk freely in his grace from my own condemnation, from my own beating myself up. Because like you said earlier, I used to also wonder, is grace for me? You know, when you're doing the wrong I'm doing. Short of, let's just be honest, people, short of murder and probably selling drugs, I pretty much done everything there is to do. Some of it before I was a Christian, a lot of it after I became a Christian, because there was so much in me that still needed to be worked out, things from my past that I didn't even know were in there. And as I begin to seek God and see, the funny thing about seeking God is when you really, really begin to seek God with your whole heart and you pray things like, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Well, a lot of times before the clean start coming out, the junk got to start coming out. Because he's got to take you into the junk to let you see where his blood needs to be applied.
Yeah.
So, go ahead, sir.
Well, I was saying, you know, no matter how much people or the devil or the enemy of any kind tries to get you to doubt God's grace for you, God is always there, always speaking to you. And if you can quiet yourself and listen clearly, you'll hear God tell you he loves you.
Isn't that the truth?
You'll hear him
tell
you you're forgiven. And sometimes when the fight seems to be so loud and you can't seem to hear, God will send somebody. And he'll speak a word over you that just encourages you. And I'm going to tell you, for me,
please,
I was really struggling with grace, feeling like I didn't love the Lord. And I get a phone call from a reverend, and he said, God gave me a word for you. I said, okay. He said, don't doubt my love for you. And he said, but then this is the one that got me. He said, don't doubt your love for me.
That's
and that word right there set me free completely. And I heard something in it. I don't know if the reverend that shared it heard.
Go ahead, please.
It wasn't just an encouragement. Don't doubt anymore. It was a command.
Very good.
Son, I'm telling you, don't doubt this anymore.
Say it again. Well, don't doubt what?
Don't doubt
say
this
the whole,
anymore.
The
don't,
whole thing again.
It's like, don't doubt my love for you, and don't doubt your love for me. And I heard the command in there. Don't do it anymore.
That's
it's like
powerful.
It's settled. Don't matter what you've done. Don't matter how you feel. Don't matter what's going on. My grace has covered you. My love has covered you. And you don't need to let the devil beat you up no more.
That's powerful. I just want to emphasize on that, because that is so, wow. That is a powerful statement right there. Don't, everybody to hear it. God saying, don't doubt your love for me. My love for you, but then he also told him, don't doubt your love for me. How many times have we done something wrong or messed up, and then we begin to question if we really love God? If I love God, I would have done that. If I really love God, I would have done that. No. That is so awesome. That is so awesome, and I know that's going to bless a lot of people. I'm going to put the pastor on hold real quick. I want to do something and look up something, and then we're going to play a song, but I want him to come back before he goes to air, because I want him to pray for the listening audience. I want him to say the prayer of closure when we get done, but I'm going to put him on hold for a minute. Please don't go away. He'll be right back. Real quick, I want to go to Psalm 103 real quick. I just want you to see something. We're going to play one more song called The Best in Me after this, because I want you to understand that God sees the best in you. He sees the best in you. That's how his love works. And it's how we are to see each other. Understand what forgiveness is. The forgiveness God gives to us is the forgiveness that he wants us to give to others. God does not give us conditional forgiveness. He gives us unconditional forgiveness. When we repent to him, we go before him and ask of his forgiveness. His grace covers us. His mercy is with us. And he cleanses our sin. A lot of times when we keep bringing up our sin to God, God, why do you keep bringing up something I'm no longer thinking about? I've forgiven you of that. Why do you keep bringing it up? We as people are to also walk in that. When others have wronged us. And I'm not saying that forgiveness is easy. Let's be real. I get tired of people acting like forgiveness is easy. Forgiveness on our own isn't easy. But as we ask the Lord to help us to forgive this or forgive that or forgive this person, he helps it become easier. And he helps us get to that place. And with that forgiveness should come a change of heart, that we can now forgive freely as Christ has forgiven us. But in Psalm 103, verse 12, it says this. It says, and I want you to really, really get this. I'm going to start at verse 11. It says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him." Verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins and our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear us." Which kind of goes back to what the pastor was saying, that God gave him the word and said, "Don't doubt my love for you." That's like God saying, no matter what you do, no matter how bad you mess up, don't doubt my love for you. It's still there. And then he said, and the most powerful part of that, then he said, "And don't doubt your love for me." You're messing up, you're tripping, you're falling, you're sin. I don't care if it's repeated sin that you are continuously trying to get through, trying to get delivered from, trying to break free from. He still says, "Don't doubt your love for me." God knows I love him, even when I don't realize because of my mess. And God knows his love for you. My God, I pray that you are hearing the word today that God is sharing and what the pastor had to say, and we'll come back and pray over everyone to understand that God's grace is sufficient in all things. Are we perfect? No. Does he give us a right and justification to sin? Absolutely not. But when your heart is after Christ, when your heart is after God, he knows. And when you turn to him with a repentant heart, his grace covers you with no condemnation, no guilt, because he sees the best in you. We're going to hear this last song, "The Best in Me." He sees the best in me. And then Pastor Tom Miller is going to come back and pray for our listening audience and pray for you. And I'm just so honored to have him here today. Also, don't forget, if you have prayer requests, please go to the website, expectinfaith.org, and list your prayer requests. We have wonderful intercessors waiting to pray for you. Please grab a hold of this, and Pastor Tom Miller will be right back. This is called "The Best in Me."
He saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. Can I tell y'all one more time? I said he saw the best in me when everyone else around could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one.
He saw the best in me
when everyone else around me, yeah.
When everyone else around
me
could only see the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When God walks you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me
when everyone else around me, yeah.
When everyone else
around
me.
Can I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I feel. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? Oh, and I am his. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees me for who I am.
Help me sing it.
Yeah, girl.
Said that he is mine.
He's mine.
I'm his.
I'm his.
Said it doesn't matter what.
I have a witness tonight? Can I ask y'all one question? The question is simply this: what did he see?
He saw the man.
I can't get no helpers in here, because there are some folk in here that people have wrote you off, said you would never amount to anything, said that you would never end up being anywhere. But Myron, tell him one more time, what did he see?
He saw the best.
When mama said you would never be nothing, when aunties and uncles said that you would never amount to anything, when daddy didn't come home anymore, he didn't look at you and say that you weren't going to make it. God looked at you, and what did he see? What did he see?
He saw the best. The best.
What did he see?
The best.
I said, 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 what did he see? Listen to this, y'all. I love this. I love this. See, he's mine, and I'm his. It doesn't matter what I did, but he only sees me who I am. Ooh, Lord. Yeah. He's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I did. He only sees me who I am. Sing it one time. We're going to go past it. He is mine. Oh, oh, oh.
He's mine. And I
see. Ooh.
It doesn't matter what I did.
He only sees me for who I am.
He only sees me for
And the reason why he sees me, who I am, because he created me in his image and his likeness. He's mine.
He's mine.
I am his.
I'm his.
It doesn't matter what I need.
It doesn't matter what I feel.
He only sees me.
He only sees me for who I am.
He saw the best.
He saw the best.
Amen. Before we get back to Pastor Miller, before we get back to Pastor Miller, we have a caller that wants to talk about grace. This is someone that had sent me a text a couple weeks ago asking a question about grace, and they've called in. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Did you want to explain your question, or do you want me to explain your question?
I guess I should introduce myself. I'm Paris, and I am Mr. Clark's daughter. And we have a very open relationship, and I kind of ask off-the-wall questions at all times of the day. And
true.
And actually, it was kind of reversed. He had asked me a question about, like, what would I want to hear from God or know about God or different things or related to grace. And my big thing is, for me, I'm gay. So for me, it's not that I have a problem with being gay. It was just, how do I go about living life and being fully in love with him and not feeling judgment from the outside world? And knowing that I could still do all the things I wanted to do. And a lot of what you talked about today just really touched my heart. And I was teary-eyed before, and I was refusing to call in, or I'm like, you can text my story or whatever. But I've definitely found that being honest with God about my stuff relieves a lot of the pressure, and it relieves a lot of the pressure from my own heart. I don't I don't carry around any kind of condemnation of my own self. If people want to give it to me, then that's on their own heart. I live my life how I want to. I try to be as open as I can, and I've learned to be open from my father and watching him and get fussy with God and be honest with God and work out his own life and problems, like he's talked about the adultery thing. So I'm still working out my gay thing, whether it comes to pass that I choose to change or not. But I definitely feel now, though, you know, as long as I'm honest and willing to be in God's line, and he will touch my heart and change different things, and he's definitely done that. I recently graduated from a yoga teaching class, and I want to do it with a Jesus spin. And you know, there's different things that I'm wanting to walk along and be and do for him, but I am definitely able to, and I don't feel like I have to carry around shame of, you know, not just the gay thing, but whether it be attitudes, because I know I have a stink attitude. a lot of times, or it's a, you know, like I said, it's a work in progress. We are all works in progress, and that's definitely one that's always been a biggie. But this, I guess, I feel like I'm rambling. This message today was just very on point for me. We had a short texting conversation initially about this grace thing, and he was like, "I'll think about this. I'll get back to you." And then the radio show happened, and I was listening, and I'm sick right now and in bed. And he told me not to call in or listen. He just told me to rest, and I ignored him. And I am glad I did, though. it was good to see the woman in the Bible about her adultery and him not saying, "I'm not condemning you," or "I'm not, you know, go sin no more." I can't say exactly for that big issue that I'm not doing it, but I get the gist. And as long as my heart is open and I have daily conversations, and I'm still wanting to be, you know, in his line. And I was teary-eyed, and it was great.
The funny thing about, or the thing I've learned most about God in my walk, is that it truly is a work in progress. The thing that God requires most of us is that we have an open and an honest heart with him. And as long as my heart's desire, I love David. David said, "One thing that will I seek after is that I may dwell in the house or the presence of the Lord all the days of my life." And as long as you are seeking God's heart, seeking God's will, God knows how to mold us and shape us and get us to the place where he needs us to be, whether it's a deliverance thing, whether it's a molding thing or correcting thing. God knows how to get us to the place that he needs us to be, as long as our hearts are open and repentant and trusting after him. And that is the magnificence and the power of God's grace. I feel so many times we lose so many people. First off, one thing you need to understand, we can't change nobody. I can't change anybody. I can't make anybody be anything or change anything. That has to come in the heart. Now, yes, we have to stay in God's word and read God's word in areas where we might be falling short. Pray, okay, Lord, help me. Help me walk in this area of your word. Help my life line up to this part of your word. And then God in his way molds and shapes and does what he does. And in that, there is freedom in that. And so I'm just honored. I think my daughter did call in because she is sick right now. And so I'm glad that she called in to share. The question that she asked me a couple weeks ago about grace really hit my heart, because it was one that I had struggled with in previous years. And Pastor Miller and I have had many conversations about grace, from things that I struggled with, he struggled with. And then just as pastors, you want to understand so that we can love more in Christ's way. Pastor Miller, are you still here, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Pastor Miller's going. First off, I want to thank you for calling in, sir, and sharing especially your testimony about what God spoke to you about. Don't doubt his love for you and don't doubt your love for him. That was just profound, and I thank you for sharing that. If you have any final comments before you pray, please share them. And then if you would go ahead and pray us out before Pastor Miller prays, please remember that God loves you. I thank you personally for listening to Life Empowering Words. Thank you for the week. Please share it with your friends and coworkers, this show, this program. Share the website for those that have prayer requests, for we have people that are waiting to pray for you. And that is, again, at expectantfaith.org. Don't forget, you can get the book, Everyday Faith, Faith for the Daily Walk of Life, at Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. It will truly bless and strengthen your faith. After Tom Miller gets done, there will be a song called Freedom, and that song will be the end. At the end of that song, it will be the end of the show. Pastor Miller, go ahead, sir.
I just want to end with some scripture in Romans chapter 8.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Starting in verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It's Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 33 really grabs me. Who can bring a charge against God's elect? Who can accuse you of anything? Nobody. It's Christ who justifies you. And you know when you need to be justified. You know when something needs to change. You know God in his lovingness draws you and woos you and impresses your heart that something needs to change, you need to repent. But when you've got things right with the Lord, do not let condemnation come in, because Christ has justified you. He's covered you with grace, and nothing can separate you from his love.
Amen. Pastor Bill is going to pray for us, and then we're going to close on a song called Freedom. When that song is over, that's the end of our program for today, and we will see you next week. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. God bless you. Pastor Miller, go ahead.
Father, we just give you praise, because you're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You're the great I am, the mighty God of Jacob. You're our Redeemer. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. And Father, I want to ask right now that you would come and touch the hearts, Lord God, of every hearer, Lord God. Open their hearts, Lord God, and help them to understand the depth of love that you have for them, and that nothing can separate them from you, not even sin. Because you paid for that on the cross. And when it's dealt with, it's dealt with, and it's under the blood, as far away from us as the east is from the west. Your grace covers us. And we give you praise for that, God. I pray that you would bless the radio station. I pray that you would bless Reverend Clark. I pray that you would bless all the people that are involved, Father, and I pray that you would use this radio station as a tool to spread your word and to set the captives free. Lord, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Pastor Miller. I so appreciate it for calling in. Thank you for sharing your heart and what God has on your heart. I know it was a blessing to many, and many that will listen as this show gets archived and people come in and listen to it later in the day and on different days. So thank you so much. I so appreciate you, sir, and we'll definitely be calling you very shortly, okay?
Okay.
Okay, and here is freedom. Thank you, sir.
No more shackles and no more chains.